The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
1101, Cellini, DeVito, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM show on the road. And what a guest we're going to have at high noon. He should be a Hall of Famer. Dale Murphy will be here. It's the First Horizon Bank Lunch with a Legend series. Matt Chernoff going to lead the Q&A, and Dale Murphy will come here as he is the featured guest at Obnol. The whole way here, Domino, I was saying Obnol.
Why were you doing that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It just popped into my head. Hobnob is where we are in Vining.
Can you promise to stop now that you're here?
We at Obnol.
No, no. But again, can you promise
you
not
to have a pint with me at Obnol?
I'd love to have a drink with you at Hobnob.
Right.
That's what I would love to do. So why don't we just start from there?
Okay. If you're at Obnol, Hobnob, it doesn't matter where you are. In fact, you can hear us absolutely free via the Fan app, and that is driven to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. And Beaver Direct is the quickest and easiest way to shop for a car online. You can also listen to us at 680thefan.com and follow along if you so choose at the X platform. And that is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort, at Chris Domino, at Cellini Nick, at Matt Lear, at DT680, at Road Dog 680, at 680 The Fan. What is the most controversial trade in your team's history? I brought it up because you saw it last night, Chris. I'm sure people were talking about it all over the place as they watched the Hawks be eliminated. The Trey for Luka deal is one of those deals that seemingly will be talked about forever.
No way. Here's the thing when it comes to trades. Everybody's got one that sticks in their craw. How bad your organization is, then you start to go, not only do I have one, here's two, here's three, here's four, here's five. Championships sometimes assuage it. It can be bad, then turn not so bad. But when one is bad, it just gets worse over time. Like, time is not a healer when it comes to the what if. What if you just got, you guys are smart, supposedly. That's how you got these jobs. How are you not smart enough to do this? Or how are you so dumb that you did that? Time doesn't heal that.
No, it doesn't.
As a matter of fact, it makes it worse.
As John Lennon said, time wounds all heals. Never mind heals all wounds. Someone said the Hector Oliveira experience.
That's funny.
In that three-team trade, the Braves get Hector Oliveira, Paco Rodriguez, and Zachary Bird, and we know Alex Wood, among others, get traded. The Marlins are somehow involved, and we found out that Hector Oliveira, on and off the field, wasn't really the guy the Braves thought he was going to be, on or off the field.
Yeah. The good news is we didn't pay most of that. Afraid somebody else did, but yeah, not a good moment. Although, and again, in the history of things, that's a really bad moment. But you won a World Series, and you sort of get to go, oh, we can laugh a little bit about it. It's the Atlanta Hawks who've never won anything. You know, it really is one run in 6 years with Trey Young, and that's what it's going to come down to. Going to halftime last night, I put something out. I said, you know, this could literally be the last half of his career in Atlanta. And in five words or less, this is the whole gist of it. In five words or less, what do you think we're supposed to think or say about this? And then the answers come flooding in. That's all cool. This thing isn't that difficult. It really isn't.
You're teetering on the brink, though, if you're the Hawks, because as I said last night, as the game came to a close, who stays, who goes? But maybe the more important question to ask is who cares? Because as Matt Chernoff says, this doesn't appear to be a serious franchise. Something is amiss. You're now three coaches in under Trey Young, and you have the same problems. Nobody's listening. Nobody's functioning as a team.
Who's in charge?
And nobody wants to put forth the effort. And, yes, when you go to the front office, into ownership, who really is in charge? Nobody knows the answers to any of those questions.
No. And again, I'm sure we'll think we know there'll be another trickle, but I thought I knew in the past. You hired this guy. Oh, he's in charge. Wait, he's gone. The guy, you got a guy from Golden State, and you said, here's what we're going to be. We're going to be Golden State of the East. We're going to be able to do it. Blah, blah. He's gone. Then you get a coach in. Well, he's a guy that's tough. Boom, he's gone. Player's coach now. Boom, he's gone. I got a guy and a tactician in Quinn Snyder who couldn't figure out how to get the two best players on the floor. I couldn't figure out. He couldn't figure out. None of us could figure out why can't they play together. Now, if you want to tell me it's about styles, guess what? Let me give you a piece of information, and this is what pisses me off now, because people are all, they're falling over themselves trying to backpedal on what they've said about Trey and what they've said about this and what they've said. There have been better players in the NBA than both DeJounte Murray and Trey Young who've changed their game enough to ensure that ultimate success happened. And if you don't think that's true, you're crazy. These guys either didn't want to, they didn't have a capability, didn't have a coach who could actually instill it in them, didn't have Henry Kissinger who could give them a detente and figure out, can we even at least just live with each other, not like each other? So none of that has worked. You know what that is? Organizational failure. It's top, it's coach, it's players. It's simple. One time in 6 years with Trae Young, we had a high five, isn't this great thing going on around here. We built up to it, felt really good. Wow, what's next? Think about what could, oh, wait, no, never mind. And then it crapped out. And to the point where last night he might have played his last game in a Hawks uniform. That's what you need to know, that in 6 years we will have one citywide high-five collective social moment. And he is a statistical star. That's what he is. He's a statistical star. 3 years ago, I said he'll never finish out the contract. And I'm not patting myself on the back for that because I've seen this in the NBA. This one was kind of easy. But here's the next part. I tried to tell you, when you're not invited to go out for the Olympic team, when you don't make this team, when the coaches don't pick you for the All-Star team, there's a thing to that. There's a thing to that. It doesn't mean he's not a statistical star. He is. He's in the company of Oscar Robertson. I want you to think about that. That's the company he keeps statistically. I got nothing out of it except one run where all of a sudden a referee and a foot and an out-of-bounds line, it's the most Atlanta thing. If we really think about Atlanta things, that might be the most Atlanta thing of all Atlanta things.
It's right up there with anything. And you want a microcosm of the issues this
Hawks
team.
So what's so difficult about this? Like, why is everybody, people are pissed. Well, you can't run this guy out of town. First of all, let me explain something else. I hope you feel this way. Nobody in the media has ever run anybody out of town, especially in this town.
We don't have that kind of power.
If you are that big a douche where you think that you've actually had that capability or you thumping for something, we'll get somebody out of town, you're delusional. You're egotistical. You're a whole bunch of things. That doesn't happen. That's not a real thing. So if you're putting that on Twitter, you're wrong. Nobody's running anybody out of town. That's not how it works. But it is simple to the point of something was wrong, and it's been wrong for a few years. If you don't fix it, the patient dies. The patient dies. It's over.
And I think they've already flatlined this current edition of the Hawks, because you want a microcosm of the problems this team has had throughout this year. You want to go beyond. I'm talking about this year alone. Look to late in the first half last night. It's a three-point game. I'm not sure what Trae Young is doing as he lazily goes for a steal. Even the broadcast said the same thing. Richard Jefferson, I believe, was on the broadcast. Not sure what he was doing. Led to an open three from the corner that gave the Bulls a six-point lead. With 7 seconds left, I don't know what Trae Young's doing. He's just standing there dribbling the ball.
Yep.
And as the first half buzzer sounds, DeJounte Murray flips out on Trae Young and storms off the court. That is a microcosm of the problems that this team has and why one of them has to go. DeJounte Murray or Trae Young has to go.
Couldn't fix it. And by the way, you had a long time to fix it. I'll give you another one. I don't want to do this because I don't know what I'm supposed to think about it. They played better, winning record, with Trae Young down. That's a fact. It's not a season. It's not two seasons. So I'm not trying to make it something it's not, but it is a fact. Here's the other thing. Get ready to be disappointed because I don't want draft picks. They're going to scramble to get draft picks. I don't want draft picks. I want a bona fide. I don't even know who that would be at this point. I don't even know if it's possible.
I don't know if
the NBA has trades that go, my guy for your guy means change of scenery for both. Who's the guy? I seem to be the only one with a guy who needs a change of scenery. Who's your guy? Tell me who it is, and are you a trade partner with this other team? I think it's mythical. I think it's mythical. I think no matter which one you traded, I think you're getting draft picks, which does me and you, I promise you, it does you no good. It does you no good.
Well, especially this year, this draft is considered one of the weakest drafts. And that's not saying much. I understand what you're saying because
right.
You went through some lottery picks, and you and I, I'm not Tim Legler. I'm
Hunter.
Not really. Yeah.
I could start crapping on the whole thing.
What everything is all about when you talk about the draft. You brought up DeAndre Hunter, 3 of 16 from the field last night. A great disappearing act by him. He was playing out of position at times, had to play power forward because they were shorthanded. I understand all of that. But to let Coby White score 42 points, his previous career high was 37, and I don't know how you classify this game because the NBA will tell you this is not a regular season game, but this is not a playoff game either. This is a play-in game, so it's a statistical anomaly, apparently.
Who cares?
But he did whatever he wanted to do. Spinning through double teams, driving inside. He's a 6'5 point guard. He was 9 of 10 inside the paint last night. 15 of 21 from the field overall. If you look at that film as a Hawks player, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should really be ashamed of yourself watching the lack of effort that you put forth trying to stop Coby White last night. Nobody cared. Nobody rotated. It was disgraceful what the Hawks were doing defensively. In a league where nobody plays defense as is, the Hawks took it to an entirely new level.
I'm going to give you my three-part, there's no answer, because I don't expect you to do the research. I ain't got the time. But I'm going to give you the three-part, here's the other thing about the Hawks you better realize. But first, let me also say, do you know the smartest thing from a talent point of view would be to keep this group together and just add a piece? It really would be. What you saw at halftime last night will tell you those two guys can't play with each other. And they've had an opportunity now for two seasons to play with each other with a couple of different mindsets. Front office mindset, coaching mindset, other players around the mindset. They can't play together. The smartest basketball thing to do would be to figure out how you get these two to, you sacrifice a little bit of this game, you sacrifice a little bit of this. And my God, I told you, Nick, you could have 50 and 20. 50 and 20 from your backcourt a lot of nights. It's not even possible with what we saw last night. Last night at halftime, after all this, lose and go home, and those two guys couldn't get along. So that's done. From a talent point of view, you are not getting talent for Trae Young. You're not getting talent, equal talent, for DeJounte Murray. It's not happening. They can't play together, though. So somebody's got to go. That's it. Let me ask you. I don't expect you to know the answers. How many times this year did the Hawks, A, allow a guy to set a personal scoring record, B, have a team break a franchise record, you know, points in a quarter or a half, etc.? C, fill in anything personally deflating as a fan here that you want.
So all of the above.
That's it. Those three things, including you can have your own. Anything that's personally deflated you, you stick as C, and I will say, yep, you're probably right.
Now, understanding, I'm not good at this stuff. I'll say 17. It happened 17 times this year.
I don't even need an answer. The fact that I actually put this at the top of my thing.
We know what happened last night.
Look at this. What's the first thing there? That's it. It's my ABC of the Atlanta Hawks. I don't care about this team enough because they haven't afforded me a want to care. Last night was the, okay, and by the way, if we don't talk about the Hawks until they do something, the draft I'm not even looking forward to. Like, if you're telling me on draft night I'm supposed to get excited.
Make that noise that you always make. That's what you think of the draft.
Yeah.
I think that's what everybody should think of the draft.
Well, you just took Hunter at 4. That's what I'm telling you. Why would I not think that? So please don't point me to the draft. If you're on social media saying, but what if we, okay, and what if I actually fell out of the right womb, I'd be the king of England.
Or you'd be Nick Wrestler.
So I don't even, listen, I wasn't even upset about any of this last night. I find myself, because this morning, with the locker room guys, I was in the building before I came over here, and part of it was, like, everybody's racking their brain. What are you racking your brain about? What are you racking your brain about?
It's pretty evident somebody's got to go.
If you're racking your brain, I'm going to say that you're spending more time on this than I think the organization has spent in the last 2 years.
But I think you bring up an interesting point. Because they're not going to get anything in return, are they really going to do anything? Are they going to tell? Here's what they may tell you. Okongwu was out. Jalen Johnson, the elixir, was out. We were shorthanded.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, another year with everybody on board and Quinn Snyder on board, we're going to be fine. We were banged up all year. We really weren't a healthy team all season long. Somebody was out. Different people were missing games, and we weren't together. We did not have time to build that chemistry. Give us another year. That's what they may tell you.
At one point during a game, I think it was during a game last night, maybe it was halftime. I don't know. I'll get to them later on. That's a terrible broadcast. That's a terrible broadcast. Their pregame, their halftime, it's awful. So another story for another day. But I think it was brought up that the Lakers general manager, the guy in charge of the Lakers, said you can't buy a house that's not for sale. When specifically, wink, wink, talking about DeJounte Murray. Why didn't they make a move? Why didn't the Hawks make a move? You can't buy a house that's not for sale. That was the quote coming out of Los Angeles, who I'm sure would have liked DeJounte Murray. Now, what were the Hawks asking for? Was it unrealistic? Were the Lakers offering something ridiculously stupid low? I don't know. But I do know that you ended up with the same group at the end that you had at the beginning, which wasn't good enough because I've watched this for a couple of years now.
And just remember this, it's a two-way street as well. Does Trey want to be here still? Does he feel like it's not going to work and it's either I go or DeJounte Murray
goes?
Do you try to force their hand?
I don't know, Chris.
At this point, everything's on the table, is it not?
Nick, are you not? My point is, are you going to pull the, you didn't fire me, I fired you? Is he going to fire that shot? I don't care.
Work for Coach Cal.
No, but I'm saying I don't care who does what to whom anymore. Like, if Trey wakes up today and says, wow, I'm getting beat up today. I want out of here. You guys didn't help me. I want out of here. Who cares? And if the team wakes up and says, you know, Trey's the problem. He's got to get out of here. Who's going on record first? I don't care.
But you got guys like Stephen A., the halftime show that you're not a fan of, going at Trae Young, saying he's the problem. They made the comeback after that disaster of a first quarter with him on the bench. He comes back in and everything goes sideways.
Well, Quinn Snyder's not blameless. How am I sitting on my couch and I know you got to sit him? It's over. They're a better team without him today. 11-0 run with him on the bench. 12-0 run the other way when he comes back in. It's over. He shouldn't have played. So Quinn Snyder, absolutely, he was terrible last night. Terrible. Why are you keeping Trae Young on the court? Minus 35 at one point, finishes at a minus 27. Why was he even playing? And by the way, what are you going to do, insult him? He leaves the court with no bandage on. He comes back with it on, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to be like, oh, okay, now it's going to be better. Now it's going to be better.
Don't misunderstand.
The coach has to say, what is a better basketball team tonight? It was not with Trae Young on the floor.
And I'm not hanging everything on Trae Young, because for a while For a while this year, he was all they had out there as everybody around him was struggling. But obviously, again, it comes back to this backcourt. They can't play together, but will they play together again when all is said and done? I think that is something to strongly consider, because what was the old adage? You can't sell a house that's not for sale.
You can't buy a house that's not for sale.
Okay, you can't buy a house or sell a house if it's not for sale. I guess you can't do either. So if they're not going to get what they want in return, are they going to tell you, if we're healthy next year, everything will change? Is that going to be the pitch?
It's the way they'll be the most talented, because it's not going to be future draft picks. That's not going to make you more talented. And that's what you're going to get for either one of those guys. You're not going to get a bona fide. Also, AtlantaHawks.com, I want to thank you. Here's what it is. Here's the headline. Clint Capella and Hawks playing lost to Bulls. 22 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 assists. Who cares? This is the first thing. Am I lying?
No.
That's AtlantaHawks.com. There's nothing about what the coaches said. There's nothing about what any players said. Hawks videos. Clint Capella and Hawks playing lost to Bulls. 22 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 assists. Now, hold on. You want to know where it gets better? Then, below that, they have the Pacers game. DeJounte Murray scores 32 points, and Hawks lost to Pacers. You're better off shutting this down. Take AtlantaHawks.com off. Get a reset. This is the first two things you have under the Seymour videos, Hawks videos. You're talking about two losses, and you're putting up your player statistics. I don't see coach. I don't see player postgame. I don't see player postgame. Not on your site. Shut it down. Take a couple of days and maybe put it back up.
So I think top to bottom, what you're saying is
there's not a place in the building that doesn't catch crap today.
They need to shut it down.
So anybody
everybody
says,
take a deep breath over the course of the weekend, and Monday we come back and we start thinking about what we need to do. Everybody just needs to leave for a while.
So anybody on social media says, oh, the media is going to bury Trae Young. No, sir. I just demolished the building. I just demolished the building and the internet when it comes to them. So you don't have to worry about Trae Young being the guy who takes the fall of this. He's probably the guy who's gone. The building has just been demolished.
Or is he
gone? Start all over.
Is anybody going to leave when all is said and done? The 11 o'clock hour presented by Finley Roofing. Them you can depend on. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer. 4 decades of experience and a lifetime warranty on their work. FinleyRoofing.com. What else is coming up today? Well, like we said, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Dale Murphy, the subject of today's Lunch with a Legend series, brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Ed Hobnob, he will sit down with us prior to facing everybody else and grabbing a sandwich. sandwich with the public at noon. Laura Rutledge just did an outstanding job hosting the Masters for ESPN, also does plenty of NFL work. She'll join us to talk about a bevy of things at 12:20. And another reason college football has turned into the wild, wild west. We'll talk about that as we go on campus at 12:50. When we come back, there was some good news out of the city yesterday as the Braves swept their way through the Lone Star State with a common theme. And we'll talk about that and more next here on your home of the Braves. A day off, and then the Rangers are in town with a weekend series that starts tomorrow here on Cellini and Domino, the Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, and the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Let's get something going. Ronald puts a charge in one to center field. The bomb going back, still going. He's at the 409 mark. That's off the batter's eye. There's some offense. 2-1 Atlanta, and Ronald has his first home run of the year.
11:27, Hobnob and Vinings is where we are. Cellini, Domino, Joe Simpson with the call yesterday afternoon. A guy that knows about hitting home runs, Dale Murphy, the topic of today's Lunch with a Legend, brought to you by First Horizon Bank.
Where?
I don't think he's here yet, but when he arrives around noon, he'll sit down with us and have a conversation. The 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Finley Roofing. Speaking of the Braves, the 50-50 raffle is online, and you from all over Georgia can now participate and get a chance to win 50% of that 50-50 raffle, courtesy of Harris Cherokee Casinos. For the first time ever, you don't have to be at the stadium. But when you enter online, you can enter in person, obviously, during games at Truist Park. Online entrance have to be physically located in the state of Georgia. At the time of entry, you can go to the MLB ballpark app or Braves.com/5050.
Nick, does that mean if you're in Anderson, South Carolina, drive a few miles, put your feet in the state of Georgia, get in the 50-50, boom, go home.
Yeah, and then go back home.
All right.
Sometimes things really are that simple. The Braves Clubhouse Report with K-Mac will come your way at 2 o'clock. Marcell Ozuna cracked his league-leading eighth home run. Orlando Arcia, the hero again with that single in extra innings. The Braves rally once again down 4-2 in this game to sweep the Astros by a final of 5-4. The Braves have now won four games in a row. With all of the issues that they have, they're still finding a way to grind it out thanks to this lineup, even with all-stars being missing from this lineup.
Oh, that would be Spencer Strider?
That would be him. That's
Sean
one.
Murphy?
That's another.
And now Ozzie?
Yes.
Okay.
Three for three, Chris.
And arguably,
if I had something to give you, I would.
Thank you. Arguably, they could still be the best team in baseball, or at least here's what they're good at. Still close and late. That, to me, is the most important thing. When you're trying to turn it around, where you're a so-so team trying to be better, win one-run games, win two-run games, win close and late. The Atlanta Braves certainly have an ability with this offense. Where in the lineup are you going to get it from? I don't know on a given night. The fact that Ozuna's done it consistently is great. The fact that Ronald, I think the number was zero home runs, five RBI. That was a day or two ago. I looked at it. I said, well, how many games has he played? All of them? That's terrible. Well, he hit the home run last night. Maybe this is the beginning of him waking up.
And if you go back to last year, Ronald Acuna Jr. had gone 79 at-bats without a homer, the longest drought of his career. And people were wondering when he hit that home run yesterday, he slams the bat down. Is he angry? I don't think he was angry. I think he was just saying to himself, it's about time.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that was a self He was looking inward. The bat was actually outward. We saw a physical display of inward emotion. That's what it was. You ever see the movie Inside Out? Inside Out 2 coming out. Did you really see it?
Yes, I took Nico at the time, liked going to those movies. Okay. He actually liked being around me at the time. In general.
Movies are big with my kids. I think I got a little bit longer than maybe you got with him in terms of, hey, let's go to the movie. Dad's paying. I can get a slushie. Dad's paying. And then, I don't know.
Maybe now it's just, let me order DoorDash. Dad's paying.
Yeah. Well, see, they're out of the house. I'm paying tuition, and I'm paying for DoorDash.
I guess the point is you're always going to pay.
Yeah. So quite honestly, I don't want to hear about your problems right now. I have two.
You asked.
But I'm paying tuition, and I'm paying for DoorDash. The point is, Inside Out, you know how I feel about that movie. That wasn't a kid's movie. That was an incredible parents' movie. The point is, what we just saw is like the movie Inside Out. What was going on in his head actually got played out, boom, publicly when he slammed the bat.
And here was Acuna through the interpreter, Franco Garcia, talking about finally going deep.
Yeah, it's like I said before, you know, I've been feeling good the whole time, and I knew it was just a matter of time until the hit started coming, so.
Wow, that was the world's shortest cut.
No. You know what he wants me to do? He wants me to fill in the blanks. So all of you people who doubted me can stick it.
I think we may want to take that cut out of the system.
That was the end of the cut.
Just some advice there.
Oh, no. I thought we were playing a game of you fill in the rest. So here's what I would say. All of you who doubted me can stick it.
I don't think anybody should have doubted him. If you doubted Ronald Acuna Jr. because he didn't hit a home run until yesterday, that's a you problem, is it not? I think he's going to be just fine. That's the attitude you need to take with a guy like that. Yeah, he's not Jared Kelnick. There's nothing to really worry about with Ronald Acuna Jr.
But why be positive? I've got so many opportunities to be negative.
It is social media, after all. A lot of people are worried about Max Fried. Max Fried, the third time through the order, didn't go so well. They gave him a 2-1 lead. He gave it back. Throws 96 pitches. Only 52 were strikes. 4 walks in this game. Despite all of that, Max Fried feels like he's headed in the right direction.
I feel like I'm pretty close, even not having, you know, being as sharp today. In that last inning, give up some, you know, some pitches out of the zone. It's a good hitting team over there, and they were able to, you know, get some base hits and do some things. And, kind of three of those were, like, out of the strike zone, and they were able to really, you know, stay on it. So sometimes you just got to tip your hat to good players and just, you know, hopefully stuff like that kind of bounces my way.
In his defense, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it could have been a lot worse in that fifth inning. He could have given up 2 or 3 more runs. So at least he was able to grind out that inning.
Yeah, and we talk about how far does he have to go to make sure the bullpen doesn't get burnt down. Good that it's a day off today. Anybody who says, well, listen to him, boy, he sounds like, that's how he's always
sounds. No, he always sounds like
that. I promise you.
Win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. So the other thing, though, is with him, as it pertains to what is... Do you know what? Can I give you an analogy? You know what spackle is?
Yeah.
Spackle. Okay. You see a little damage on the wall. You put some spackle.
Yeah, there's a leak in your ceiling. Let me spackle that a little.
Well, no, take care of the leak. Don't spackle a leak.
Next thing you know, you got Finley Roofing coming
over. Yeah, don't spackle a leak. Get that looked at. I'm saying, oh, look, you threw your remote. Boom, there's a nice little hole in the wall. What do? You get some spackle. Sometimes the Braves pitching is the hole in the wall. The offense is the spackle. I don't have to. Max Fried is again the third story. Ronald hit his first home run. Ozuna hit his eighth. Look at what we're getting out of our shortstop again. Oh, yeah, and then Max Fried. That's how crazy this offense can be at times. It's not like they exploded for 10. They found out when they needed to, they got runs, and then they won in an extra innings. Max Fried's story gets pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, and because he had to pitch the other night, there was some concern, even though he only threw 5 pitches, that Raisel Iglesias wasn't going to be available. He was, and he walked somebody, but gets a fly out and then gets a double play to end the game. And that
onto
is that
plate.
Is you come back home, you enjoy a nice Thursday off. It's a beautiful day to be outside. You grill out with the family, sit by the pool, and you get ready to welcome in the world champs. How excited are you to see Boch tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Bruce Bochy is coming back to town, your buddy.
Why do you go put my business public?
Because everybody knows how you feel about Boch.
Yeah, I do. I'm gonna grab a seat on that couch in that manager.
Any chance he can come on the program
That's
tomorrow?
A good question. Where are they today? I should have probably thought about this sooner. I was thinking more about me. I'm going to be honest.
I understand.
Just to have
I cannot criticize somebody for thinking about themselves. That would be highly hypocritical.
I don't know if they're playing today or they have the day off, but I can find out. Maybe he can come on with us tomorrow morning. That might be nice. We had him on this offseason. Congratulate him, though.
We did.
I know we did. We had him on in December, I think, to congratulate him. They're in Detroit? All right. You know what? I'll put a text in. I'll put a call in. Maybe we get him.
Hey, Chris, right now I'm in the Motor City.
What's that, Boch?
I'm in the Motor City right now.
Okay. How you doing, Boch?
I'm doing good. I'm a champion again.
How about you coming out with
me? Never get old, Chris.
How about you and me coming out with me?
Well, I'll talk to you. I don't trust that other guy.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about me. I was thinking about spending a few minutes with them this week.
Anyway, it's just a thought. Marcell Ozuna.
And they're a good team, by the way.
Yeah.
Like good enough to win the World Series last year, but good enough where if they come into your building on a weekend, there's a reason to go out and watch two good baseball teams play.
And we'll get to who you are going to see as a Braves fan getting the start over the weekend momentarily. But you brought up Marcell Ozuna. Yeah. Didn't waste any time extending his major league hitting streak to 16 games. A 432-foot bomb to left center field. 8 home runs, 23 RBIs, leading all of baseball. Here is Snit on his DH.
No, it was great. Yeah, no, he's and he's had a the whole season from or longer than that. Really, it's been a long time. Yeah, so it's been big.
He's like a hired gun now. He'll crack the home run, and it's almost like he's putting the gun back in the holster, and he's just sitting down in the dugout. All right, I'll wait my turn again.
Oh, it is incredible that some guys can't do this.
And he's got it written all over his face, the confidence.
Confidence.
And he talked about it earlier in the week, the unsure feeling that was written all over his face at this time last year. It's, again, that mask is a mask of confidence right now.
And by the way, being a DH is not for everybody. Guys have talked about it. He has figured it out. You know what I don't want? Him actually having a bad play in the outfield, which might affect his at-bat. Well, that's all done. He's not getting a chance to play. I saw him the other day. I wasn't even going to tell you this. I saw him again at first base the other day, just catching ground balls.
I think it's just giving him something to do.
I agree.
You got to do something to pass the time.
Guy keeps hitting home runs. He wants to shag some guys. Get him some ground balls.
If this means he's going to keep doing what he's doing at the plate, if he wants to make that a part of his pregame routine, have at it.
I'll let him catch. Ozuna wants to put on the equipment. Pregame, not during a game.
I worry. Pre-game. Now, even in pregame, I worry about that a little bit. Remember the great Don Baylor breaking his leg, catching a ceremonial first pitch. If you're not used to being in that position, let's not push the envelope. We've had enough injuries already this year.
Might be true, but I'm not sure I want to be the one to tell him no right now.
I'm not making this up. There was a ceremonial first pitch. Don Baylor, I think, was on the staff with the Angels, and he was down catching the ball, and he broke his leg. His leg buckled.
I don't know this.
And they had to help him off the field.
I don't think I know this.
It's all over YouTube. If you don't believe me.
No, it's not that I don't believe you.
Because it's Don Baylor, I think everybody wanted to forget about it because Don Baylor was one of the nicest men to ever play or coach baseball.
Tough. Oh, boy, tough.
Yeah.
Ask Chipper about what that guy will tell you. He'll pat you on the back, but you know what I'll also do? Foot right up. So far up your rear end, you'll choke on it.
Yeah, sometimes that's what you need. So off today, the defending world champs are in, and if you're going to watch the games, you got different options now. Christopher Mad Dog Russo is probably losing his mind.
Tomorrow night's game is going to be...
All right, Doggy, thank you for asking. Tomorrow night's game, things are well. But not for you, because tomorrow night's game is on Apple TV+.
That's not a real thing. I need it on regular TV.
Jesus! So, Bally's will have the game Saturday and then ESPN for Sunday night baseball. But you know what? All of the games are right here on your flagship for Braves
all
baseball.
All the time. You know what Apple can't do? They can't buy me out. They can't buy you out. They can't buy our app out. They've tried. Now, let me ask you this. He works for ESPN, so is ESPN regular TV?
I think it's
a Sunday night game. I don't want them to go crazy.
I think it's considered more regular than Apple TV+.
We have a level of regularity.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because if you go through your channel guide, you'll see ESPN. If you go through your channel guide, you're not going to see Apple TV.
Yeah. Okay.
But certainly not Apple TV Plus.
But again, as I've told him and everybody else, it's all regular TV.
We love you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You don't need a special TV to get irregular TV. It's all regular TV.
But again, the flagship for Braves baseball, you will hear Joe and you will hear Ben right here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Also this weekend, First Horizon Bank and Double Play ATL are teaming up to give back and to be collecting new and gently used baseball and softball equipment, giving back to local teams and organizations as you can join 6:43 with Dylan Short live this upcoming Saturday at Sandy Plains Baseball at Harrison Park between 9 and 11. Each person making a donation gets a free car wash, compliments of Tidal Wave Auto Spa, brought to you by First Horizon Bank and Tidal Wave Auto Spa. First Horizon Bank also bringing you the Lunch with the Legend series. Dale Murphy will be here shortly. Prior to having lunch with the fans here at Hobnob in Vinings, will be sitting down with us at 12. I know he's probably tired of being asked about the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, so let's not do it. Do you want him to do it just first? How do you you're looking at me like I don't know that he's tired of doing this. Do you have a plan?
I guess what I'm saying,
make him untired of this?
What I'm saying is because he's such a great guy, it's not going to stick in his craw. Other guys it would bother. I don't think it bothers him.
I think it bothers everybody. I don't care how nice you are. If you think you belong, and look, it's not thinking you belong. It's looking at some other people who might be in, and you go, oh, God, I think I was... I'm a nice guy, but I think I was good as that guy. I'll tell you what pisses off. And I don't know if that's the proper language. I hope if Dale's listening in the car, that doesn't offend him. His family. His family. Like, to me, now, he's had a couple of options, a couple of chances on the veterans. Will it happen again? Might depend upon who's on it. Might depend upon who not only is voting on it, but who's on the list. But I would imagine your family, I think this about him. He's a good enough guy where it bothers people in his family more than it bothers him. From what I understand, his 16th grandchild, young kid, still very upset about this. Still very upset.
And I think he does have in the 18. Area of...
Oh, he's got 18.
Yeah,
got
I was going to say, well, in the area of pushing 20 grandkids.
He's got 8 kids and 18 grandchildren, unless something else has happened in the last couple of weeks. And it might have when you have 8 kids.
I don't know how you keep track of all that with the birthdays and the holidays. I don't know how you do that.
Ask me how.
I mean, I have 6 nephews, and I can barely remember their birthdays.
Yeah, ask me how.
How?
You don't. That's what you have a wife for. And I'm not saying that disparagingly. My wife takes care of everything in that department. You know what it is kind of cool? I told you this about 6 months ago. When my daughter showed me that I have a calendar on here, that now there's a way to connect. Like, and this is bad. This is really bad. When it's Mike Schmidt's birthday,
mm-hmm.
because I have...
Not anybody in your family when it's Mike Schmidt's birthday.
Let me ask you a question.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Do you think I'm lying? Do you think I'm lying? What does this say right here? Sunday, April 21st.
It says Jesse Orozco. So that's his birthday?
Yes, it is. Is that in my phone or is it not?
It is in your phone.
I just opened my phone.
Sunday, April the 21st. All day, it's Jesse Orozco's birthday. Now, why you would have that, I don't know. But it's nice,
know.
I guess, to have it, I suppose.
I don't know. Eric Davis's 62nd birthday, May 29th. I'm not even lying. Billy Williams, it's his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Feige, you know what Kevin Feige is?
I have no earthly idea.
He's the guy in charge of the Marvel League comic book movies.
Gotcha.
It's his 51st birthday. I have Vince Scully's wife, who passed away. Look at that. I got it right there. They didn't take it out. Don Newcomb.
Whomever they
away.
May
There's
be.
His birthday. All day it's
so they live on forever.
Yeah.
In Christopher
Rico Petrocelli, Thursday, yeah. June 27th. It's his birthday all day.
Yeah, I think everybody knows where you're coming from now.
I don't have one relative in here is the point. Not one.
Again, I had no idea you were going in this direction, but it's baseball, and you can certainly have great conversations, and you do each and every Saturday morning during the baseball season. Your Hardball show features the Ray Giudice interview of the week, does it not?
I got a little bit of Whitey Herzog and a little bit of Carl Erskine coming up.
And passed away this week.
Yeah, both of them did.
A tribute, if you will.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Carl Erskine, one of the nicest men I've ever spoken to. He's Bobby Richardson nice, and it's hard to be Bobby Richardson nice.
But these are the type of stories you can have with baseball players. Pirates manager Derek Shelton revealed to reporters yesterday that Joey Bart, by way of Georgia Tech,
mm-hmm.
was a first-round pick by the Giants, traded to the Pirates. He's been out 3 consecutive games because he was catching in the bullpen and he was hit in the head by a batting practice home run. This can only happen in baseball.
No,
the most bizarre injuries happen in that sport.
The guy's trying to get his career on track. He was the 2nd overall pick in a draft, and San Francisco said, yeah, we can't do anything with him. And I'm not going to lie. Let's just say I asked somebody in town, is that a guy that maybe we can claim as a reclamation project? Then he actually was going a little bit kind of well in Pittsburgh, and then this happens. If you're Joey Bart, don't you think at this point you might have done something wrong with somebody?
Yes.
You might need an exorcism or something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I'm
talking. Talk to someone about it. Speaking of history, let's check some other things that did indeed happen on this date.
There's a lot of history rolling around in Domino's brain. Time to get some out.
Off we go.
It's the Week in Sports History presented by Urology of Greater Atlanta. With locations across the Metro Atlanta region, visit us online today at ugatl.com.
So let's start with baseball. 1916 on this date, Grover Cleveland Alexander shuts out the Boston Braves. It's the first of his 16 shutouts that season. That season.
Yeah. What else did he do? Yeah, the game, listen, it's at least in the 1900s, so I'm going to tell you that I believe it. It is crazy, though, that when you mashed in that time period, when you crushed people in that time period, you really crushed them. You got guys good when you were great.
1982 on this date, the Braves defeat the Astros 6-5 to extend their winning streak to start the season to 11 consecutive games as the city. That was really the first time the city went crazy.
I agree.
For this team. Joe Torre was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
1946.
By the way, what year is it?
That was 1982.
Yeah, so guess who was on that team? The guy's coming in a couple of minutes.
And we can certainly talk to him about the start of that season.
If you don't want to talk about the Hall of Fame thing, ask him about the start.
Never mind the Hall of Fame. Let's talk about 1982. 1946, Jackie Robinson makes his minor league debut for the Montreal Royals of the International League, becoming, of course, the first African-American to play organized baseball in the 20th century. Nolan Ryan tosses a one-hitter, strikes out 15 as his Mets beat the Phillies at Shea Stadium, the first shutout of Nolan Ryan's career. And in 1981, Tom Seaver records strikeout number 3,000, getting Keith Hernandez. 1987, a guy you brought up, Mike Schmidt, hits home run number 500 on this date.
That's that great run around the bases. He's very excited that day. Harry Callis was excited, so was Mike Schmidt.
Albert Einstein passed away on this date in 1955 in Princeton, New Jersey, at the age of 76.
Do you know why I know that? Ask me why I know that. And
why do you know that?
Because I was watching Interstellar last night, the Christopher Nolan movie. It's 10 years old. I'm going to bring it back in the theaters. You have no interest in these types of movies.
Can't say I do.
Okay. They're bringing it back to IMAX. Which is the way you want to watch this movie. I know the Einstein thing because, again, there's the end of Interstellar. I need Christopher Nolan's phone number. I got to call him myself.
I got to
give me all these other ideas. I need to find out for sure what the end meant.
All right, let's take a quick break because the legend is here, Dale Murphy, because it is the lunch with a legend. Murph, please don't be humble.
Why, it is Dale Murphy.
We are at Hobnob. We'll talk to Dale Murphy when we come back. The Lunch with a Legend series. I know. Brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Cellini Domino here on your home of the Braves. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Swung on, ground ball up the middle, might be two. There's one. There's two. Ball game. Braves win it. Bryce Selling Iglesias got the ground ball he needed. 6-4-3. And the Braves sweep the Houston Astros. Final score, Atlanta 5, Houston 4.
Cellini Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Hobnob in Vinings is where we are. It's the Lunch with a Legend series brought to you by First Horizon Bank. The legend is with us right now, Dale Murphy, the subject of today's luncheon.
They already sampled Joe Simpson's call from last night into a song.
Yes, they did. They are very quick.
Hope Joe gets a little money on that one.
Murph, good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, guys. It's always great to be back here in the city, and thanks for having me on. I look forward to my next interview here at Hobnob.
Thank you. You just mentioned it was 50 years ago since you got drafted. Did you get a call from Bill Lucas on the actual day you were drafted?
Yeah.
So you found out the day. Have you heard the stories of guys finding out they were drafted like a day or two later?
I can't remember any of them, but I've heard. You talking about guys my age back in the day? It doesn't surprise me because just the way it happened. I don't even know how it how the draft happened. I think they all got on a conference call, you know, I would imagine. Or telegram conference. Conference telegram. Because
Western Union, we've drafted Dale Murphy. Stop. Call Dale Murphy.
Now,
stop.
I have a telegram story in my... it's kind of long. Let me back up. I can see that happening because in the baseball draft, you know how many guys you draft.
Yeah.
And you're going through the list of calling guys. Bill Lucas called me. But there was also no internet, no email, no, so they had to personally call the guys. I can see they're, you know, it surprises. I mean, kind of doesn't surprise me, but it also is you know, understandable. And we did not live in the information age. We had no information. But I thought the Phillies were going to draft me.
So you talked about watching Hank hit number 715, and then in June the Braves draft you, yeah. And out of nowhere you saw nothing coming.
Yeah. I thought the Phillies were going to draft me. My coach at our high school was friends with the Philly scout. I knew I was getting scouted, but I only had one pre-draft workout. They flew me to Philly. They picked Lonnie Smith. And so I just, you know, I knew I was going to get drafted, sitting around waiting for a phone call. And then Bill Lucas called me, said, "We drafted you." And back then they used to list them for some reason as the major league draft and then the AAA draft. Mm. And so I thought I was going to Atlanta. I was like, I'm not coming there to play, am I? I go, "Oh, no. And then flew here. You know, a few days after I signed, and Bill Lucas met me at the airport, and then I think I spent the night here, and then went to Kingsport, Tennessee, Rookie Bowl.
I'm not trying to make it sound like you were a country bumpkin, but two things. Is the phone call, I'm assuming it's a wall on the phone somewhere in the kitchen? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the way that things were done. Had you been on a plane before, or do you remember 50 years later what it was like? How nervous were you to go? You're going
from Portland, Oregon to Atlanta.
Or even to Philadelphia to have that tryout.
Yeah, totally. My dad went with me to Philadelphia. I went by myself to Atlanta because I had already signed. And I had flown before, not that much, but I had flown a little bit. And
how nervous are you? Do you bring a bat with you to Philly? Do you just have a glove?
You know, that's a great question. I brought my catch. I obviously drafted as a catcher. Had my catcher's mitt. I didn't bring anything. I didn't bring a bat that I can remember. They had just invented aluminum bats when I was in high school, and I obviously knew we weren't going to be using aluminum bats. I don't think I had a good wood bat. And so, you know, you don't really know. You're totally nervous, but it was the kind of nervous where everything from getting on the plane to landing in Atlanta and meeting Bill at the airport, just every step was so foreign and unknown that, yeah, I was nervous, but take it above nervousness where you don't, you know, I don't know what, I hardly knew where Atlanta was. I was going to Kingsport, Tennessee. Where is Kingsport, Tennessee? Where am I staying there? Who are my coaches? Hoyt Wilhelm was my first manager. It was beyond nervousness. Probably scared is a word I would throw in there for sure.
Can I ask now, then you would have a great perspective. When you have a player who doesn't speak the language, when you have a foreign player coming over, can you even... The magnitude of that?
Yeah, not really. I can't imagine what it'd be like to come over here from, you know, played with guys in rookie ball in Dominican. I'm sure that was, you know, their first flight. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to not speak the language and to come here and experience your first year of pro ball.
Dale Murphy is here with us. Hobnob and Vinings is where we are. He is the subject of today's Lunch with Eight Legends series brought to you by First Horizon Bank. We were just talking before you got here about the fact that on this date in 82, you guys started the season 11-0 with the victory over the Astros. That was really the first time the city was captivated with the Braves, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I had someone come up to me in 95 or during that, whenever, maybe 91 when they went to the World Series in 95. Anyway, that playoff run that started, someone came up to me and said, "You know, that 82 thing was still the most exciting thing." And I think it was just kind of unknown. We weren't picked to make the playoffs or, you know, to win our division. So when we ended up going 2 weeks without losing, it was definitely crazy. If you go back and look at the replay, people ran on the field as they did back in the day. You know,
it's like a college basketball game.
Yeah, they stormed the field. It really, I think, when we won the 13th one, there were people coming out on the field. And then when we came from, did you say Houston when we won?
Yeah, Houston.
When we got back from Houston, after there were a few thousand people at the airport. That's when we used to go through, get off the gate and walk through the airport. It was nuts. It was nuts. So exciting. It was just so unexpected.
Can you talk about the reality, though? Is it a thing when you're not on a good team, and you experience that, driving to the ballpark? Brian Snicker talked about it. There are times that you hope you win. But then when you get good, you go, no. I'm going to the ballpark expecting to win. And yes. Can you explain what a 162-game season is like when you're not going well?
Yeah. The only thing I can say is, you know, people say, well, the pressure to win. I'm like, no, it's so much when you're winning. There's, like, expectation of you to make the playoffs, et cetera. And so, like you said, I've experienced both. Mm-hmm. When you pull into the ballpark and you're driving to the ballpark, you're relaxed when you're winning. Uh-huh. You're relaxed. You're like, whatever happens tonight, I don't know if I'm going to win the game by getting a base hit, but someone is. And so your performance just becomes better. People talk about my 82 and 83 years. We had good teams, and I just had my best years when it was enjoyable to go to the ballpark. And yeah, so we had some experiences there. You're just everything. There's little arguments. There's, you know, little things I can't remember, but just the completely different feeling of, you know, you're nervous. You always had butterflies going no matter how many people were out there. You get in the batter's box. But there's a different energy when there's 25,000 people there and games on the line and a pennant race is on the line. Those dog days were serious dog days when we weren't winning.
But as you said, people don't forget, like, the luncheon. People are here, and they're waiting to hear you speak. That's got to be a humbling experience for you. People still remember you after all these years.
So grateful. I can't be, you know, a number of things. The guys I played with, the people I played for, managers, owners, Ted, Bobby, Joe Torre. I mean, I got a lot of them. But TBS, being on TBS was, you know, I go all over the country, and it doesn't matter where I go. People come up to me, man, I watch the, you know, I live here I'm just trying to think, Fargo. Literally, I went to Fargo, North Dakota, and ran into a bunch of fans. Just, it's very humbling. It's really fun. People ask me all the time, what's Glenn Hubbard up to? What's Horns doing? You know, they can name our lineup all over this country from the 80s, not because we were perennial contender. It's because we were on every night, and then we had a few good teams, and our announcing crew was the best. So I'm very grateful for the days I played. Yeah, you know, we had some tough days, but to be able to play for Atlanta, and just so thankful. I don't know how else to say it. Ted Turner and the Braves, and for Bill Lucas to pick me and then have my experiences, I couldn't be more grateful. I don't know how else to say it.
I don't know if we've ever asked, right? I don't think I've ever, you know, we've talked off mic before. How would you describe your career?
How would I describe my career?
Yeah.
A little up and down, for sure. I'd love to speak now and share the story of my career, because it wasn't smooth sailing, and it was bumpy. I got drafted as a catcher, didn't work out there. Bobby moved me to first, didn't work out there. Called me before spring training, 1980, said, you're going to the outfield. And then I ended up making all-star teams and doing things.
Are you feeling like this is my last shot as he moves to
totally,
the outfield?
Yeah. Well, you know, I started a few home runs, but by a few, I mean like over 20.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And Bobby's like, Bobby just saw, you know, when Bobby Dews was on his staff and I played for Bobby and A-Ball, they just hung in there with me. And I kept showing up. And there were times when I, you know, if some of my stuff was on from AA and AAA, and my catching was on social media, it would have buried me. I kind of went through those days kind of with some anonymously, but I started to hit a few home runs, and my, you know, I started filling out a little bit. And Bobby just, you know, and Doozy always says, Murph, I want you to know that was my idea getting in the outfield. It wasn't Coxie's. And I always, but Bobby called, so Bobby called me and said, we're going to move you to outfield. And I was like, I think this could work. And I just, everything just settled.
But you're humble. Do you take pride in knowing that you stuck through that and you had other people? There has to be a pride.
I like to share the fact of what did I do? A couple things. I didn't quit when I wanted to quit. I mean, literally, I was kind of hoping in AAA a couple of times. You know, I hit our starting pitcher. They had to take him out of the game because the guy was stealing second base, and I hit him, our pitcher.
Yeah. So you
hit him right in the
hip.
You
IL'd a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least he missed it in his next start. You know,
well, we can laugh about it now.
Well, exactly. But at that point in time, I was like, You know, I had to show up the next day. I was the catcher. I mean, what are guys thinking about me and just the whole thing? But I just showed up, and I know there's the famous saying that 90% of success is showing up, but it really is true, and I share that with people. Just, you know, something's going to happen. Don't give up on yourself, because I wanted to give up on myself, and different things happened. I mean, I had no idea from 1977 or 78 when I started at first base for Atlanta that 4 years later I would be an MVP. I had, come on. I mean, people believed in me, gave me a chance, and I just kind of just showed up. You know, I was very fortunate to be with the Atlanta Braves. Had I been with another organization, it wouldn't have worked.
Media in New York might have.
Oh, yeah. Well, I probably wouldn't have never got called up. You know, I got called up in 76 and 77 in September just because I was a catcher. You know, I mean, I was a prospect. But, you know, we know in the late 70s, you know, and mid to late 70s, especially after Hank left, and they were, you know, losing a lot of games, trying to figure things out. And things were different back then. They bring guys. I look at some of my numbers. They let me play the whole year in the big leagues. You know, that wouldn't happen now.
Well, guys like Lavin and Smoltz, same deal. They let them figure it out.
The late 80s, when they came up, we were struggling. And Smoltz always shares a story about his first year and how many games he lost. It's a different deal. That generation, our generation, they had patience with you at the big leagues, which is not really evident now. I mean, it's just a different era.
Dale Murphy is with us. We know he got to run and do the Lunch with the Legend series here at Hobnob, but we also talked about the grandkids. The meter's still running, is it not? It's 18 and counting.
Yes, on Monday, number 19. So, yeah, just shake my head there. What can I say? It's never had any idea 20 years ago.
You're about to have your 19th grandchild, but you said something before that we agree with, and we had talked about, not with those numbers, but it's not you, it's who in your life? Who runs your life?
Oh, Nancy. Yeah. No, I would. My career would be a lot different without Nancy. Everything would, you know, our family, most importantly. I mean, think about it. Chad was born. I started my first full year was 78. We got married in 79. Chad was born in 80. I retired in 93, and that was the year Madison was born. So we had eight kids during my career. And Nancy, I don't know how to say it except that she is in every way has made my life and my career possible and our family, absolutely.
And the key is you share the same birthday, so that makes things easy as well.
Exactly, and I needed that. I needed
to. Well, you got to spend it.
It really all fell into place.
I really needed the same day to have because
you got to.
Because, you know, I almost showed up here yesterday.
Oh, we heard. But at glorious West Palm, there's nothing like celebrating your birthdays at glorious West Palm Beach.
March in West Palm Beach back in the day was just a great time. People, you know, who know other athletes, they go, so how's training camp? They call it training camp. I go, no, it's spring training.
Yeah.
It's springtime. If you're a big leaguer that has a roster spot, it's the best time of the year. It's, you know, it's a great time. And so Nancy and I, those formative years of our family and my career in West Palm Beach have great memories.
I just want to finish with this very quickly. You have six boys, two girls, correct?
Seven and one.
So how is the daughter, how much differently did you treat your daughter? Rules and everything
else. Well, totally. Yeah, well, yeah, we were so used to the boys, but Madison, for instance, when Madison was about 4 years old and we were gone or out on, Nancy and I were out, we'd call and Madison would answer the phone. And, you know, probably when she was about five or six, and she knew where everybody was. But if one of the boys answered the phone, it was like, I don't know where Sean is. Maddie is unbelievable, and she just is like her mom, is very capable and has that organization and a mind that can do a lot of things and keep us boys in line in the family.
Murph, great to see you. Enjoy the lunch.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome to come on anytime you want.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me
on. Here he is, Hall of Fame legend in the town. Anyway, should be a Hall of Famer, big picture. It's the first Horizon Bank Lunch with a Legend series here at Hobnob. Dale Murphy going to have some lunch and address the crowd, the Q&A. Q&A with Matt Chernoff. Want to thank him for coming by and First Horizon Bank as well. The 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wade Ford. At Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, you'll discover great prices, flexible finance options, and top trade-in values, even mobile service. When we come back, a creepy reporter is forced to apologize. Laura Rutledge will be joining us to talk some NFL and fulfilling a lifelong dream, hosting the Masters. She will join us by way of ESPN at 12:20. Like I said, Hobnob is where we are in Vinings. Cellini, D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.